Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Betsy Chassie, is it?
It is.
Thank you. And Betsy's going to talk about her books and her documentaries. So, Betsy, tell all our listeners a little bit about what you do.
Sure. Well, I am a mom, first and foremost, and I'm a filmmaker. Most people have heard of my film, What the Bleep Do We Know? I've done some other ones, Pregnant in America, Song of the New Earth, The Empty Womb. I'm a writer. I'm a published author. My books, Tipping Sacred Cows, Dancing in the Unknown. I have my own publishing imprint called Rampant Feline Media, which you can just find the website, rampantfelinemedia.com, and find out about all the different things that I've created. And I also support authors and filmmakers on their journey to create and bring their ideas and projects out into the world.
That's terrific. So, I'm kind of interested in film. What have you done as far as filmmaking?
So, like I said, I did the film What the Bleep Do We Know, which is one of the, you know, the film that's sort of credited with bringing about the mind, body, spirit, conscious cinema boom. I did a film called Song of the New Earth and a film called Pregnant America and a film called The Empty Womb. Prior to that, I was a line producer for about 20 years on literally 50 independent features.
So what was Pregnant in America about? That sounds pretty interesting.
Pregnant in America was a documentary made by a gentleman who was going to become a first-time father. And he began to explore the state of childbirth in America and how it compared and contrasted to other countries and how natural childbirth was really sort of on its way out, it seems. And it just really examined what it was like to give birth in America. And I was a producer on the film, but I also was in the film because I gave birth. I ended up giving birth to my son in Canada because of a strange, weird rule where if you're over a certain age and you've had a C-section, some insurance companies and some doctors won't let you do a natural childbirth, and they'll require you to have a C-section. But then the insurance company says, well, that's an elective C-section, so we won't cover it. So I got caught in a weird loophole, and I just ended up leaving and going to Canada to give birth because here in the United States, it would have cost me around $50,000. And in Canada, even renting a house for a month and traveling back and forth, paying for a doula, my OBGYN, I ended up having a C-section, and all of my hospital care was under $14,000.
I thought once a C-section, always a C-section. Am I wrong?
You are wrong. No disrespect, but yeah, technically, no. Lots of women are able to have what's called a VBAC after they have a C-section. It really just depends. There's certain situations in which, for sure, it's better to have a C-section second time around, but it's not an always situation, and it really should be left up to the medical professionals. In Canada, when I went to work with the OBGYN in Canada, she really examined me and paid very close attention, and really at the time didn't see any reason why I shouldn't be able to go for a natural birth. You know, in the U.S., they're very big on procedures and, all Pitocin and, every which way they can to try to really, quote, help a birth, you know. And in the Canada, it's very different. I ended up having a C-section not because of anything related to my previous C-section. My son was, I make big babies, and my son was tangled in the umbilical cord. So that's why I ended up having a second C-section. So my second C-section really had nothing to do with my first one.
Oh, wow. So you enjoy filmmaking then, right?
I do enjoy filmmaking. I mean, you know, it's not an easy road for anyone to embark on. And I think that there's this myth kind of now because everybody's got a phone and the cameras are, you know, cheap and everybody thinks, oh, I'm going to go make a film. Filmmaking is a really difficult process and it's a craft, which is why I end up working with a lot of first time and young filmmakers. I used to teach at the university level filmmaking and I'm offering a course right now, which starts at the end of the month called the Documentary Filmmaking Masterclass, which is also available for people who are doing narrative films, but to really educate people, it's almost like a mini film school. It's like instead of going to film school, you can take the 6-week online course and you're going to get everything from how to develop a project, how to raise funds, what kind of legal protection do you need, how do you hire a crew, how do you do a budget, how do you do a business plan, how do you shoot interviews? How do you go through post-production all the way through to how do you distribute and market your film? You know, a lot of people, there's so much that goes into making a film. And a lot of people get halfway through the process before they go, wow, this is a lot harder and a lot more expensive than I thought it was going to be. So I try to help people mitigate that crisis point as early as possible.
Which do you consider the more difficult task, filming or editing?
Well, they're both completely different. A film is made 3 times. So a film is made when you have the idea and either you write the script or you do the outline. Then a film is made again when you do the filming because the filming doesn't always land the same way you thought it might or when you were in planning. And then the third time is in the editing room, and that's sort of your final chance. Documentaries tend to be really crafted in the editing room because that's where you really get a chance to see if all the thoughts and ideas and opinions and how you thought it was going to go end up, you know, did the people say what you thought they were going to say? Whereas in a narrative, it's scripted, it's a little easier to predict. So each point of the filmmaking process has different challenges, and so I wouldn't say one is more easier than the other.
You know, with the advent of social media and YouTube and everybody's got a website, would you say that the opportunity to showcase a documentary is easier now than if somebody did a documentary and prayed that it would get in the movie theater?
Again, do not think it's easier now than it was then. It's easier to make a documentary and put it up somewhere. Anybody can do that. But the trick isn't in just making a doc and throwing it on a website. The trick is, are people going to actually watch it? And that's, I would say, in some ways harder now than it maybe was when there wasn't as many documentaries being made. Because now it's really about this is a big part of what I teach in my course. It's really about understanding your audience, understanding your marketing, understanding how to reach your audience. Because, you know, people are kind of inundated with content. There's no shortage of places to go to watch things. So convincing people that yours is the one to put their time and energy and maybe money into is really difficult. And especially when the audience is being bombarded with so many opportunities and so many choices.
Mm-hmm. And you also work on books. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So, you know, book writing is an extension of filmmaking. I would say, and some might disagree with me, having done both, book writing is easier in that it's very much can be an individual project. You don't need a team, whereas filmmaking, you know, there are people that I call lone wolves, but for the most part, you need a lot of people. And book writing, you know, you have to have a good editor. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I can just write a book because of self-publishing. But I was just telling somebody the other day, I just finished the first draft of my very first fictional novel, which took me a year to write. And my friend was like, wow, well, you're done. And I said, oh, gosh, no, I just got to go through an editing process. And, you know, when you read a really good book, chances are there was the writer and then there was at least a really good editor, maybe a couple of other people in there crafting the storytelling. Because, again, just like filmmaking, writing is a craft. It's not something you just, you know, arbitrarily decide to do. Some people have a knack for these things, but ultimately, their craft. And so because, again, just like in the world of filmmaking with self-distribution and YouTube and all these ways in which you can put your work up, publishing has, you know, now gone the way of self-publishing. And so I work with authors and writers, not so much on crafting their stories. I help them a lot with that, but I work with another person, my business partner, who's really more of an editor. I help people really understand how are they going to market and sell their book. Because once again, anybody can write a book. Anybody can get a book self-published. But the trick is anybody going to buy it and is anybody going to read it? And really, that's a big part of what I work with my clients with, is like, why are you writing this book, and what book should you write first, and how should you position the book, and what's going to be important to really grab the audience in terms of how do we market and sell the book? Because at the end of the day, if you're going to embark on a journey of any creative process, and the idea is I want people to read or watch or experience this, then you have to take into consideration how that's going to happen.
So what got you interested in, and inspiring to go into the field of books and movies?
Well, I'm told, although I don't recall, but that my birth was filmed for a documentary on natural childbirth. And I've just been in the entertainment business my whole life. And I love storytelling. I love making films that impact people in some way. I like making people think, and I like the, you know, it's not an easy space to be in, you know, especially like right now, you and I were talking about what's going on in the world and everything is shutting down, you know, for us independent creatives, this is a scary time, because unless, you know, we've got a ginormous nest egg, which most creatives don't, it's a scary time to continue to try to survive when you sell art or you sell your creative endeavors.
Okay. So what you do, a collection of different authors in one book, right?
I do what that we call them, compilation books. And I started this a few years ago. I'm not the only person that does this, but I take pride in our compilation books through Rampant Feline Media, because we have a professional editor. They're very professionally put together books. And the idea was that there are a lot of people out there with great stories, powerful messages, but don't have the time or the ability to write an entire book or the money. It takes, if you're going to self-publish a book, you know, besides making sure that you have a social platform or some sort of network that's interested in your work, besides just making sure that you build that up, to just actually put a good book together, including a beautiful cover design, interior design, and then professionally edited, not only edited for content, but then copy edited, it at the low end is $10,000 to $15,000 to do it right. So a lot of people, between $10,000 and $15,000.
Okay.
Just to do it right. Okay. And then you've got to market it. And a lot of people don't have that kind of money. So we bring authors and people that want to write books or contribute to a particular subject that we're putting a book out. We bring people together. We collaborate together, and we put the book out. And they, you know, almost all of them become bestsellers on Amazon, and they do really well, and the contributors now can go out and be on radio shows and promote their work because they have a book and they didn't have to spend $10,000 to $15,000 to get there.
Okay. So do you do anything else besides books and movies?
No. I mean, I do a lot of consulting with people that are trying to develop, you know, they might have a course or they might have a particular modality and they want to create some media around that, some content for their social media, their content for their YouTube channel, and I help people develop that kind of content.
How is YouTube, the YouTube channels, are they still big and growing, or are there any means of technology that people are using today?
Well, YouTube is still the giant in the room, and it will be. It's an easy platform to use. Millions and millions of people use it. But again, I can't stress this enough. it doesn't really matter what platform you use. What matters is what are you doing to bring people to that platform to watch your content.
Okay. And not giving away all your secrets, what are some of the ways that people can do that?
Well, I think the most important thing that people need to understand is what's their message. I call it the five W's: who, what, when, where, and why.
Okay.
You know, when you sit down to either develop a brand, or develop a project, develop a book, answering the who, what, when, where, and why questions in very detailed form for yourself, really understanding who am I writing this book for, or who am I making this movie for, or who am I speaking to, and get very specific. I think people tend to become very broad with these conversations because everybody thinks everybody will want to read my book. Well, that's not true. So really having a clear understanding of who you're talking to, why you're talking to them, what do they want, when do they want it, and how are they going to get it? Like, for instance, some people say, I want to make a documentary, and we've come to the conclusion that it might just be better for them to make a doc series, or it might be better for them to write a book first, or it might be better for them to do a series of short videos. So these are really important questions. And when you do the work around that initial conversation about whatever you're creating, you end up with a better product in the end, you end up spending less money in the end, you end up developing an audience because you've done the work in the beginning.
So do you think that there are a lot of people out there, particularly women, which is this is geared to, do you think a lot of women have creative ideas, don't know how to execute those ideas? Would you say that that's a big problem?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's a problem. I think everybody has a story to tell. And I think the ones that are successful are the ones that do the work in the early stages of figuring out how to execute that and are willing to ask for help or willing to learn whatever craft they're going to use, whatever mode they're going to use to transmit their story. I do think women are much more willing to do that work. I think women are much more willing to say, wow, I want to write a book, but I don't know how, so I'll take a course. I want to make a movie, but I don't know how, so I'll take a course. And I think that women tend to be more willing to move a little slower. I think people generally tend to rush into things, and women tend to be more willing to say, okay, let me step back and get clarity before I step forward.
Do you work with men also?
I do. I mean, I work with anybody. I work with anyone who is serious about creating a project. You know, I charge for my services. They're not free. And I have found that when I charge for my services, people are more inclined to be serious about it. And so I work with all sorts of different types of people in different levels as well. So I have people that are really great narrative filmmakers who all of a sudden want to do a doc and it's a little bit different. Or I have writers who have written a lot of fiction but want to write nonfiction. So, you know, I have people that have never done it before or just in the exploratory stage and trying to figure out if they should invest. You know, like I said, you know, to really do a book properly, this doesn't mean that you can't do it for less, but if you're really serious about writing your book, then, you know, by yourself and everybody hopes to get an agent and everybody hopes to get a big publishing deal, and those just aren't as prevalent as they used to be. It's very hard. And so if you're going to go about doing something like putting together a book or making a documentary, then you're going to invest a decent amount of money to do so. And I think that's one of the myths. Is that people think, oh, I don't have any money. I can't afford to do this. I'm going to do it by myself. And then they get frustrated because they're not succeeding. And the reality is that, you know, money is what makes the world go round. And, you know, if you've got the money to, if you've saved up the money to pay a designer to design a beautiful covered book. That's a key element to the success of any book, is what does the cover look like? You know, the same goes for a movie. What does the poster look like? What is the, you know, these are all very important pieces. And I really coach people on being serious about it. You know, if it means that you're going to have to wait a year or a year and a half to put your book out because you need to save the money, I constantly advise clients, you know what? Give yourself 2 years, because it's, you're going to be happier in the end.
You know, you don't live in either L.A. or New York City. You live in the state of Washington. And Washington...
No, I live in Los Angeles. I actually live in Los Angeles.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So,
no, that's okay.
So Los Angeles, you know, you think of Hollywood. If you lived in any other part of the country, would you be able to be as successful as you are? Because everybody thinks of Hollywood as, you know, the movie capital and so forth. So do you believe
that... There are people from all over the world in every place imaginable creating. So creativity, writing, directing, producing is not only if you're a New Yorker or you're in L.A. I work with clients from all over the world in all sorts of different types of places who have a story to tell. And, of course,
so,
you know, now because of the Internet, it makes life a whole lot easier to do that. But even before so, yeah, I mean, you know, if you want to be a movie star and you want to write screenplays or you want to be a director of narrative romantic comedies, then it's probably better for you to go to a New York or an L.A. or, you know, a London or somewhere where there's an industry. But if you're looking to create something like a documentary, or you have a story that you want to tell that isn't relevant to having to be somewhere, absolutely, you can do it from anywhere.
So when you do your compilation of books, do you do a book with a certain theme and then put it out in the universe and say, I'm going to do a series of books or a series of chapters on, let's say, running for office. So as you get the responses back and as you get the material back and you look at them, do you think, oh my God, I never knew that? Do you find that as an enlightening experience?
Oh, absolutely. Like, so we just released a book last week called Stories of Becoming Myself. Is a compilation book written by all women, most of them over 50, who examined their lives from the perspective of being in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and shared their stories and shared how they transformed their lives or triumphed over adversity. And they were profound, profound, beautiful, inspiring stories. We did a compilation book called Shamanism in the New Millennium, where we found shamans from all over the world, from different countries, to really explore and share what shamanism really is, where it came from, and how it's being brought into our modern world, and the work that they do. Because my, you know, most of the compilation books that I put together with my partner come from a realization that there's a need. We did a book called Dancing in the Unknown, which had stories from men and women who all had some sort of major event in their life that was, in some cases, life or death. And how they stepped into the unknown to transform themselves. I'm currently putting together a cookbook, which is a new project, but I wanted it. It seems like, you know, I felt like I wanted something fun, but it's not you don't have to be a master chef to be in the cookbook. It was this idea that came because I was driving my daughter home from school one day, and she looked at me and she said, "Mom, I want you to make your special beef stew." And in my house, when you make beef stew, it's a comfort food, and I knew that she was going through something, and it was kind of like this was one of her healing tools. And we would sit and talk, and we made bread, and we made the stew, and it was a ritual. It wasn't just, oh, now we're going to eat the stew. There was an entire healing ritual around it. Gosh, I wonder who else has recipes like that. Like, what do you do if you're not feeling well? What if you do if you're feeling sad? What do you make if you're, you know, you want to celebrate? What, you know? And so I'm pulling together contributors from all over the world to share their, it's called Food to Laugh and Live By. What is the food that you use? Because food is such an integral part of our lives. And so we're in the process of filling that book now. So if anybody's interested, they can find me on Facebook or on Instagram, or go to my website and click, and they can ask me how to be a part of that.
So when you think of the subject, like you thought of food, and then you went into spirituality. I'm sorry. I can't pronounce the word. I'm sorry, but like when you think of a certain theme, you don't know how many people to put in. So you throw it out there. So do people respond to you, or do you know exactly who you want to contact?
It's like a little bit of both. I mean, most of the time I ask certain people that I know might really have something to contribute to that particular subject. Like, for instance, the shamans, you know, between my partner and I, we knew a lot of different people doing different types of shamanism.
Mm-hmm.
In the stories of Becoming Myself, I knew some women with great stories. And then we reach out to people. We, you know, I spend a lot of time following people on social media and check out what they're up to. And then if a subject mm-hmm. comes up that I go, gosh, I've seen that woman post, or I've seen that man talk about that, let me go and see if they're interested. We do curate okay. the book, so not everybody gets to just throw in a chapter. You know, before you can be in the book, we talk about what you're going to write and what you're going to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's for us, it's a lot. You know, we want to curate the book. If you take the time to look at any of our books, they're beautifully done because we care about the content. Not everybody can just say, I want to write a chapter. If we find out what the chapter is about and it doesn't fit with the book, then we won't put it in the book.
So, Betsy, how can people reach out to you if
sure,
they have an idea?
Find me, if you can find me on social media at Betsy Chassie, BetsyChasse. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. You can also go to our website, Rampant, RAMPANT, Feline, FELINE, Media, MEDIA.com. So Rampant Feline Media or at Betsy Chassie.
Terrific, Betsy. This has been Betsy Chassie. She's been talking about her endeavors with books and movies and reaching out to other people who have stories to tell. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, Women Who Inspire, or on Twitter, Women Inspire 21 on Twitter. Betsy, thank you. It's been a joy talking with you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.